I'm Steve Potter, and this is Cityscape. Author-playwright Joan Didion was born in 1934 and is known for such works as Play It As It Lays, Up Close and Personal, and The Year of Magical Thinking. Well, The Year of Magical Thinking became a play, and it opens tonight in the Reps Studio Theater. On the line, please welcome the actress playing the role of Joan Didion in this one-woman show, Fontaine Sire. Welcome to Cityscape, Fontaine.
Thank you. My pleasure.
It's great to have you here, and you're no stranger to St. Louis audiences.
No, I started with Christine Smith and Courtney Flanagan, the theater project company, in 75, and I was here for 14 years.
Yeah, and you performed out of Union Station, didn't you?
Well, we were in Union Station for a number of years, and then when the Great Renovation moved in and they wanted to charge us a gajillion dollars for the space, we had to move on, and we worked for a while at New City School in the Central West End.
Uh-huh. What do you remember about those St. Louis days?
That we were young and energetic, and I don't think we ever went to sleep. Most of us were single, and we had a wonderful social involvement because we were all basically a bunch of kids putting on plays together.
Yeah, I guess they call that the good old days.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Yeah.
And I went to a party last Saturday night, in fact, a party held by one of the stalwarts at the theater project. And there were, a lot of people there, most of whom are still working in the theater in St. Louis. So that made me feel really good, because
yeah,
a lot of these folks that worked with us, as you say, back in the good old days, are still major engines in the theater scene in St. Louis.
Yeah, we've got a great scene here, as you well know. You also taught.
Yes.
You also taught when you were here at UMSL in WashU, and now you're a professor of theater and drama at Indiana University in Bloomington, and you've been doing that for a while.
I've been about 5.5 years ago. I joined the faculty at IU, and there are always a lot of reasons why you do anything, but I had a number of different reasons why I wanted to stop working so directly in the profession and become a teacher. And the biggest reason was feeling like I had something that I could share with young theater artists. And that is my favorite part of the job at Indiana, is working with the students,
well,
the undergraduates and the MFAs.
Uh-huh. Well, we're glad you're here back working. And
thank you. Me too.
Let's talk about Joan Didion. She was an author, a playwright, a journalist, a screenwriter.
I don't mean to argue, but I don't think she was a playwright until she did The Year of Magical Thinking.
Uh-huh. Which was a book originally.
Yes, it was her memoir about the year after her husband's death, and then she adapted it into a play that Vanessa Redgrave performed in London and also in New York.
Yeah, on Broadway. The book won a Pulitzer Prize and the National Book Award. Were you familiar? How familiar were you with Joan Didion and her work before you took this role on?
I'd read a number of her novels, and I'd read a couple of her nonfiction kind of political essay collections. I had not read The Year of Magical Thinking when the project was first offered to me in the spring of 2009, but I got hold of it and I read it really fast, and then they sent me the play script and I read that. The book was published reasonably soon. Her husband died in January of, he died on December 30th, 2003, so it was almost early 2004. And the book was published, not too long after that. What I'm getting at is that 18 months after her husband died, her grown daughter was in the hospital for pancreatitis, developed septic shock, and also died.
Yeah, well, let's...
And the play...
Go ahead.
The play includes information. The play includes the story of the daughter as well as the husband, which the book does not. The book does not include the daughter because the daughter hadn't gotten sick yet.
Yeah, I see. What a roller coaster ride. And I don't care how much acting experience you've had. A one-woman show, 90 minutes, 62 pages of dialogue. I mean, that's a challenge for anybody.
You bet. I am challenged every day from the minute I walk into the theater until the minute I leave.
Well, let's talk about the story. Joan Didion, her daughter is ill, and she and her husband return from visiting her at a hospital.
Right. And that night, her husband has a heart attack and dies sitting across the dining room table from her. And only she doesn't know he's dead. The ambulance crews come, and they work on him for a while on the living room floor, and then they take him to the emergency room. And it goes on from there. And the magical thinking part is Joan Didion, on the one hand, knowing absolutely that he had died and that he was dead, spent a good part of the next year believing that if she could just do this or that or this other thing, or maybe this would do it, would bring him back. And that's the reference to magical thinking.
Right. I mean, she knows it's crazy. I mean,
she knows it's crazy, but she still is caught in it.
Yeah, I think there's a part like where she's going through his things and she doesn't throw out his shoes because he might need them later. Well, she knows he's dead.
That's right. Exactly. And she tells that story in the play, and the story gets some nice chuckles. I had a fabulous audience last night. They laughed so much. I was thrilled because audiences walk into this piece thinking, oh, it's so sad. Oh, it's about grief. Oh, it's about heartache. What it's really about is that life constantly gives you situations where you can either laugh or cry. And it's better to laugh when you can, because there are times when you really can't. And one of the things that I try to do as an actor is give the audience permission as soon as possible to laugh. There's some things early on in the play that I'm really playing them for their ridiculousness in hopes that my performance can say to the audience, it's okay to laugh. I really hope you'll laugh, because there's a lot of humor in the play, a lot. And I had that confirmed in spades last night. It was so exciting. We had a great big house last night, and they got into it, and they rolled with the punch, and they laughed at all kinds of great places.
Yeah, you mentioned the audience. You officially opened tonight, but you had a preview audience last night or two, I guess.
A preview last night and a preview on Wednesday.
Yeah. So does the audience, you talk about the audience laughing, and is it almost, I would think maybe they're almost afraid to at first. Are they waiting for a signal from you that it's okay?
Right. That's what I'm trying to do, is give them the signal. Absolutely. Give them the signal. It's okay to laugh. I hope you'll laugh. I want you to laugh. And if you find something funny, laugh. Because different things strike different people as funny.
But this has got to be the most taboo topic that there is for all of us, because, you know, we've all experienced loss. It may not be a spouse, but we've all, particularly when you get to be a certain age, we've all lost people that we love, and it hurts.
It does hurt. Absolutely. And I do not deny that for one instant. And that hurt is in the play. There's no question about it. But in life, no matter what the hurt, something ridiculous comes along and you laugh. And then you go back to being in tears. But when that ridiculous thing shows up, you chuckle about it.
Mm-hmm.
or many people do. I think it's about the complexity of the human response.
Well, you know, we've all known someone that's, we've all heard somebody laugh at a funeral.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Something strikes you as funny or ridiculous, and you laugh.
We're talking about the year of magical. We're talking about the year of magical thinking, which opens tonight at the Rep, and our guest is Fontaine Sire, who is playing the role of Joan Didion. And there's one scene, I don't know, that I read. I haven't seen the play, of course, that I read that sort of struck me. I don't know. There are probably a lot of little places people can relate to, but maybe talk about this. It's when after her husband has the heart attack and she calls the paramedics and they come to the door and it's like she doesn't want to let him in.
That's not in the play.
Oh, that's not.
That's not in the play. That's in the book. And what she does in the play is she goes into this long list of documents that she checked later to find out exactly what time this happened and who did what and how they did it and do all the time frames line up. And, I mean, there's a certain ridiculousness to that activity, too. What difference does it make what the nursing flow chart shows or what the emergency department nursing documentation sheet shows? But that's what she does in the play.
Yeah, maybe I should explain then what I was referring to. When the paramedics come to the door, this is in the book, as you say, she doesn't let them in because, you know, if they come in, then she has to admit it happened. But there must be other instances in the play that are like that.
Absolutely. And your reference to the shoe story is certainly one of them. And she also produces this elaborate funeral at St. John the Divine Cathedral in New York. And then at the end of the funeral story, she says, you know, I had made this happen. I had produced this fabulous funeral, and everybody had come and said goodbye, and I had acknowledged that he was dead, and I had done this in this incredibly public way, and it still didn't bring him back.
You know, it's quite a story. She was married to John Donne for something like 40 years. They worked together on screenplays for movies like Panic in Needle Park and A Star is Born and some others. So, but Joan Didion, you know, it was sort of a public figure known. So what did you do or what did you have to do or how much of a concern was it for you to speak like her or to capture her mannerisms or her speaking style?
That was a decision that we made. I did this play a year ago in Indianapolis at the Indiana Repertory Theater. And the woman who directed it, Priscilla Lindsay, has been with me here in St. Louis. And Priscilla and I decided, before we ever got to the first rehearsal, that I am not doing an impression of Joan Didion. I am playing the character as honestly and as directly from me as I can.
What did you draw on? Obviously, you've lost people in your life. And was that difficult also? Because while you're doing this, you must be thinking about whoever it was in your life that you lost.
No, I'm not thinking about that.
Really?
As an actor, I mean, I've been working as an actor for a long time, and I have finally come to the place where I am making believe in the same way I did when I was 5 years old and was pretending I was a firefighter. And when you're 5 years old and you're a firefighter, you are a firefighter, complete. And that's what I'm trying to do in my work as an actor now, is make believe. Because if I go out there and I start thinking about my partner of 20-some years dropping dead at the dinner table one night, I think that doesn't work for me as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
What works for me as an actor is to imagine that my husband, John Donne, dropped dead one night. I imagine that the circumstances surrounding Joan Didion's story are my circumstances.
Fontaine, you mentioned you first mounted this in Indiana, and since you've done it here in the preview nights, is there any difference, different venue, different size audience, different type of audience? Has the experience been different for you?
The experience is very different because the rep studio is much, much smaller than the performance space that I did it in Indianapolis. And the director and I essentially picked up where we left off rehearsing it a year ago and built on that. So the show is better here in St. Louis than it was in Indianapolis because I've had more deeper, more cohesive rehearsal time than I had in Indianapolis. You know, you rehearse a play to a certain point, then you open and you run it. If you, almost without exception, if you had another week or 10 days of rehearsal before you had to open it, the show would get better. And that's what I've had here is another 10 days, almost 2 weeks of rehearsal, building on what I did a year ago. So, number one, I'm more confident and more relaxed because when I did it a year ago, there's always a certain amount of terror about getting out there with 62 pages and you're all by yourself. But as I say, the show's better. It's funnier. It's... we're telling the story better. The internal arcs in the play, I think, are hanging together better than they did a year ago. I had a big success with it in Indianapolis, but it's better here than it was a year ago. Partially because it's smaller and partially because I've had more rehearsal.
Uh-huh. In conclusion, then, what do we think of Joan Didion? Do we see ourselves in her?
Joan Didion is a remarkable writer, and her ability to evoke incredibly telling images and spot-on descriptions of what humans feel, all of those things are very much represented in the play. And because she is such a skillful writer, of course we identify. That's the reason that her memoir, the book, won the National Book Award, did you say, and the Pulitzer?
Uh-huh.
Because she's speaking, it's not like she published her diary. She wrote this book and she intended it to be shared with hundreds of thousands of people. And it was. And so, of course, she's speaking to all of us. She's speaking to anybody who has the experience of being a human being.
Fontaine Sire is our guest. She plays Joan Didion in the Rep Studios production of The Year of Magical Thinking, opening tonight, running through January 30th at the Rep Studio Theater at the Loretto Hilton Center. If you go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page, we'll have a link to the Rep's website and all the information you need to know. It sounds totally fascinating, Fontaine, and I guess the last thing I have to say is I think it's a shock to all of us that we're not immortal.
Well, see, that's one of the reasons why I'm so interested in doing this play is because I know we are not immortal. I know it extremely well, and I think we have to pay better attention in our lives.
Fontaine Sire, welcome back to St. Louis, and it's been a delight talking to you.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.